Do you know what I was thinking?
No.
This is the studio.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
This is the studio.
This is where it all started.
That's actually my place.
Yeah, and this is where you put your penis against the window.
That's for Dom Irera. You're sitting in my place.
Do you want to switch?
I kind of do.
Okay.
I remember when you got the job, you were here, I was there, we were howling laughing.
Right.
This is the studio I remember the most. Come on.
Switch.
Yeah, while you're enjoying it and going down memory lane, this is bringing me, haunting me of the worst times in radio in my life.
Oh,
being stuck in this room.
This is my favorite. Talk to Robert Schimmel, and he introduced me to amputee porn right there.
Mm. What?
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that part. I remember Schimmel, and I remember you naked.
I said to Schimmel, so everyone that's listening, the deep baritone voice you hear is Cowhead, a.k.a. Michael Calta. The higher, more angry voice is Galvin.
The wetter voice.
The wetter voice. And then Jen Sturger, who you know from the podcast, is in the corner. We're getting ready to go to the Calling Sick to Work show, but we had a little bit of time. I thought we podcast. I want to do two things. I want to talk to you guys about your show.
All right.
And what I'd like to do, if possible, is steal clips from your show, plug it into the podcast of my favorite times on the show, and then maybe even your favorite times on the show. But we'll get to that because this studio is one of my favorite. Because I remember coming, this is when I come in for a week. I was telling Sturge that I used to come in for a week, yeah. Not even doing stand up.
No.
I'd be at the beach with my family and I'd come in every morning and do radio.
That's a pre Hollywood Bert. That was when you were cool.
Remember Fisher would be hailing me down like a taxi. Yeah. Oh, stop in here real quick. And you'd be like, fuck that guy.
You just gotta be real nervous. It's hard,
yeah,
to say,
I know.
It's hard to say fuck
in this
room.
I'm so used to it. I'm like, oh God, hit the dump.
And it was like, and there was that, it's the same thing that is your show now. There's no rules.
No.
And I remember coming in and Schimmel, this is one of my favorite Schimmel stories. I said, so you get cancer. I remember I thought I had cancer right after meeting him. I said, do you remember this? I said,
like,
what
it was contagious?
Because he said he felt a lump under his arm. Oh. And then he was like, I knew I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then I said, what was the lowest port of cancer? And you were like, looking at me like, why would you ask someone that? And his answer, do you remember his answer?
No.
He said, I'm throwing up, I'm shitting myself, I fall out of bed, and I'm laying in a puddle of diarrhea, and I'm throwing up nonstop. And he goes, and I had left my wife a month before for a woman, but I realized I was going to die. I was getting ready to go to hospice, so I wanted to move back in with my family. I want to die with my family. And I move back in, I'm laying there, my wife comes over, and she sees me, and I can barely talk, and the cancer just got me. And I go, honey, I need help. And his wife got an inch from his face and goes, where's the fucking girlfriend now?
Oh.
And left him in his shit and throw up. I'll never forget that. I was like, holy fuck. But
why am I the only one who thinks I'll never get cancer? Like, obviously I can, but everybody's like, I just know I felt the lump, and I just
maybe you think something else will get you before.
Man, I think that might be it. I'm more likely to worry about
diabetes.
Cardiac arrest. And, yeah.
You're gonna die way earlier than cancer.
Oh, cancer's not gonna have time to mature.
Yeah, cancer like around 50 or 60, you'll be dead before that.
Glad I brought that up. Everybody's always worried about finding lumps and stuff. If I find a lump, I'm like, oh, it's something tissue or something. I'm never like, oh my God, it's probably cancer. I won't be, like sad about it till the very end. Like I don't get sad or worried about it right away until they're like, okay, you got about 3 weeks. Then I'll be like,
I feel like that compromises my quality of life because I worry so much about stuff like that that I wonder, like when we were buying our house, I get these things in my vision. I've had them for like fucking 4 years. It's like clouds. Like it's like, they're called
cataracts?
Floaters. They're called floaters.
Oh, okay.
And people get them.
Yeah,
you can't get rid
I know what you're talking about.
And I thought it was ocular cancer, and we had a friend who got ocular cancer and died right away. And I was, as we're buying our house, I couldn't enjoy the process of buying a house because I was like, I'm dying. I guess I won't be living here much long. And I just...
So you really like this house, honey, right?
Yeah, I was like, yo, this is where you'll be living with the girls.
That happened to me one time when I went to Philadelphia came out, the Tom Hanks movie, and they asked him, how did you know you had AIDS? And he said it had started with the sore in your mouth that wouldn't go away. And I'll never forget, I was at the Coral Springs Music Center. Marilyn Manson was working behind the counter, and I was like a little fat nerd buying CDs. And I had this giant, like, it felt like a cut, but it was like a sore in my mouth, and I never had one before. And I was like, I have AIDS. Oh. I have AIDS. They had everybody convinced in the late 80s that
it's
you were going to get
downhill.
AIDS. Yeah.
You forgot about a mosquito bite that you itch, and you're like, oh, red bump. Oh.
Let's talk about. I want to talk about the day Galvin got the job.
Galvin, I had gone without a co-host for a while. I had my producer was acting as co-host and Moose.
Who just sat on the couch right there.
Pretty much. And, but we had gone on for like months trying to find the guy. And they would, at the time, everybody would send MP3s, they'd burn them on a CD, and then they gave them all to me at Christmas break, and I had a Dodge Charger at the time, and I was driving around town with the CDs and the radio, listening to these horrendous air checks, and I would take them out and just throw them out the window. And I went through like four of them, and then when we came back, I still hadn't heard one person that I liked. And then I came back on the air, and I said, Moose, run down to my car and get that other CD that's there. Let's talk about this on the air. So I put the CD in, and I go, this is what I did the whole vacation. I drove around and listened to horrible, horrible radio people. And I put the CD in, and I hit play, and it was Galvin. And he goes, let me tell you why I don't like puppets. And I stopped it, and I go, I don't want a guy who's talking about puppets on his air check. I don't know. I was just trying to be a tough guy. And I stopped it. And then during the break, I said, well, let me actually listen to that. And I listened to it, and he was hilarious. And I looked over at Moose, and he was laughing. And I was like, God damn, that guy's funny.
Yeah, wait, why don't you like puppets?
No, it was a phone call. Somebody called in about puppets. And you said, I don't want to hear a guy talking about puppets. He stopped it before my punchline because I said, I don't know, I'm not a goddamn puppeteer. You know, something about it, whatever. But he had stopped it like right as, these guys are talking about puppets? Like, this isn't good.
Yeah, I was just trying to be funny. And then when I listened to the air check, I was like, holy shit, this guy's hilarious. And I looked at Moose. I'm like, we might have found the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And then ironically, he emailed me and said, hey, I submitted a CD, but I also wanted to reach out to you and let you know I'm interested in this job or whatever. So we started communicating. And then I realized that, of course, Cox wanted to hear more material, and they said he was sophomoric and all that. And I went, yeah, well, that's pretty much what the show's about. And then when he sent the second batch, I was like, oh, this is the guy. And they said, well, we want to bring in a couple other guys. I said, well, waste all your money. I go, but this is the guy that we're hiring. And he was the only guy we ended up bringing in. Tell him how you came in here and didn't even, you were currently working your other job.
I was doing mornings by myself.
Oh, that's right.
In Louisville.
This is the best story ever.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a Thursday, I believe, that I had to come down here. So I called in sick the night before. I called my program director. And
from
I said,
here. From here.
Well, no. That was the night before. Oh. I was flying down here and stuff. And I called in and I go, hey, dude, I don't think I'm going to be able to come in tomorrow. I'm not feeling well, this and that, whatever. And I flew down here and stuff. And then we went out and I think we saw you at the improv and stuff. But then I called him again and I was like, hey, dude, I can't come in for Friday or whatever. And Mike goes, what would you have done if they would have said, no, you have to come in? Yeah. And I go, I don't know. I mean, well, I'm here. You know, it's like, what can
we're going to come to your house and take you to the hospital, Galvin. Yeah. Like, we're really worried. We're having an intervention.
We're going to come over and check on you. Yeah, but I knew coming down here, I said, if I can get in front of him, I'll get the job. You know what I mean? Because he and I were talking and stuff, and I think it worked out that way. So I said, all right, I got to get the hell out of Louisville. And I wanted to be on a show, you know, and this was a show that I was listening to while I was doing my morning show in Louisville. I would listen to Mike and Moose, and I would kind of go, okay, this is what I'd say there. This is what I'd say there. And I knew that it would work out.
It was so funny because that first day you came in, I was in studio, and I remember Cal was like, hey, make sure you give this guy a little room because he is auditioning. They are listening to it. And I went, sure. And I'm saying this, but instantly the three of us had amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
It's funny because I already knew who you were because I'm a very big fan of comedy.
And we both, the person we both thought was funny as shit was Megan Mooney.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we both were like, oh, and I had just seen her. I was like, she's fucking amazing. You're like, dude, and you quoted one of her jokes to me. And I was like, oh, this, and we gelled that first time. And that was one of the funniest shows I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Because I saw you on Last Comic. And I had seen you before that, but I saw you on Last Comic, and I remember saying, I bet me and that guy would be friends if we met.
Yeah.
Like, I do that a lot. You know, you see people, and you go, I bet we'd be friends. I did that with you, so whenever I got here and you were here, I was like, well, this will work.
And it did. I remember you saying, I don't know if I got the job because you were in there, but we were all, they didn't know what voice was what
right.
for me and you, and I was laughing hysterically, which was making all of us laugh. Yeah. It was like,
because didn't they tell you to have him not come in on Friday to make sure?
And I was like, I'm good. I got ratings to deal with right now. I'm not worried about this. And don't forget, at the time, we were playing 52-minute music hours and the fewest commercials guaranteed.
Dude, I'm so glad they got rid of that shit.
Oh, it only took 5 years.
Ugh.
We went from 8 songs to 6 songs to 5 songs to 3 songs to then we just stopped playing the 3 songs. Then they finally flipped formats.
It was great. Okay, now let's talk about what would you, let's go around the room. Sturgill, you can obviously pick today. Mm-hmm. But what was your favorite moment we've had together on radio, the three of us?
I already know what it is. I know what it is, and I think you referenced it earlier, but it is My favorite was when you were telling the story of trying to give the lizard, trying to cremate a lizard.
Oh my God.
Cremate my iguana.
Yeah. That was so goddamn funny. In fact, that has been played on Best Of. That has been played on, like, demo stuff. You know, yeah, that's one of the funniest, because you can't get through the story. You're telling it at such a high pitch. You're laughing so hard. Like, you can hear the tears in your eyes when you're telling that story. And that was one of the funniest things.
I cried to kill a mouse one time.
Why?
Well, I had a lizard that needed a mouse.
Uh-huh.
But the mouse started attacking the lizard. And I was like, I paid like $400 for this lizard. So I had to kill the mouse, and I was like, all right, I was just gonna kill it. And so I got it in my hand, and I'm like, what do I do, like squeeze it, or like how do I kill a mouse? Yeah. Like, I've never
do
killed
you have
a mouse.
To use your bare hands.
So well, I how would you do it? What do you get,
like
a knife,
a book or something?
A book.
How do you kill a mouse? You grab the mouse and you throw it on the ground.
Yeah. Well, what I decided to do was I put it in a sock and then I slammed the sock. It hurt. I got so upset. I was like, oh my God,
that's terrible. That is
so
terrible.
Bad.
There are more humane ways to do it.
Oh, and then my lizard died. I didn't want to bury it.
Give it a Viking funeral.
What did you do? Did you bury it?
I first put it in our fireplace.
Oh, bro.
If you get hot enough to burn it.
Wait,
his lips peeled back like this. And his tail, his fingers went back.
I have no idea what you're saying. I'm just looking at the visual. You put him in your fireplace, and what happened? You wrapped your lizard in paper?
I wrapped him in newspaper. And I put it on fire. And it just didn't get hot enough. So all that happened is his tail curled up a lot. And his fingers bent back and his nose and lips went like this. So I was like, I was like, okay, I got to make a much bigger fire.
You just burnt him. You didn't cremate him. You burnt
him. And then I don't even have the body to respect it anymore. Like, right. Now I got to bury a burnt lizard. I took it outside. My buddy's like, we need gasoline. And I was like, all right. So then I got gasoline. I covered him in gasoline. But he just never would burn. And he's like, we got to get rid of the fluid inside his body. I was like, now I got to cut him open, drain him. I was like, I'm just going to bury him.
You told the machine story here before anywhere else.
Yeah.
But we had just started here. The station was like in 20th place when we took over. So there was nothing. Social media was just starting to take off. So it wasn't like anything we were doing here was going viral, no matter how funny it was. But that was the first time we ever heard that story.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my favorite time. Can I tell you my favorite time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best thing we ever did on the air was when we brought our wives in. So let me describe it.
I totally fucking forgot about that.
So we brought my wife in, Galvin's wife in, Bert's wife in, because you guys were in town. And then the three of us got behind a curtain.
Oh, no.
And took our balls out. And then we blindfolded our wives like they were in a Guantanamo Bay prison.
Right.
Because they couldn't hear either, because you can't stop laughing.
Yes.
And we brought them in, blindfolded over their ears and eyes, and they had to reach in and feel our balls and see if they could pick their husband's balls. That was the best
that
ever.
That was the best ever.
That was fucking epic.
And they did. And they all picked our balls.
Yeah. How did they do that?
I don't know.
I don't know, because I think your balls feel like what you sound like.
Yeah.
High and tight.
High and tight. And then they get loose.
Angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine was shaved.
And I had never shaved
balls
mine.
Balls are
so.
Very distinct, guys. They really are.
Let's play it right now.
Let's play
it
right now.
Yes.
All right, Bert, the problem is you're going to have to be quiet, Bert, because I know you're going to be the one to screw this up.
Why?
Because
Bert is naked.
All right, Bert is going to go first, and my wife is coming in first. All right, don't say anything. Galvin, get back here. Hold on.
I'm so excited for this.
Come on. This is gross.
Bert is completely naked back there?
Shh. Why? Bert, stop. You're grossing me out, dude.
Quiet. Make him go back up.
Shh. Don't talk, because once you talk... Don't. Galvin is behind Bert. Galvin's holding Bert by the waist.
Oh my God.
Shh. Okay, come on. We got to be quiet.
That was the gayest thing.
Bert, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go, and then after she removes her hand, then you move and be quiet. And then Galvin, you go, and then I'll go, okay?
Okay.
All right, we good? All right, let's go. What are they doing over there?
I don't know.
This is my wife that they're bringing in first, and she's first up with Bert.
Okay,
All right, here we go.
Brush, do not.
You're putting the blindfold on.
Yeah.
Rush. Rush. We got a two-camera shoot going on here. We got one side of the curtain and the other. Okay, she's properly headphoned. She's coming in the room.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to talk. Dinah, you take over from here.
All right, Amanda.
Shh, don't talk. Oh, she looks like a terrorist.
She does look like a terrorist. All right, she's got the headphones on.
I don't want to do it.
She's very nervous right now. All right, she's going in. She's. Oh, my God. She screamed a little bit. Definitely screamed a little bit. All right.
Next guy.
Next guy.
All right, go. Can you tell her we don't play basketball? She's putting her hands up on my hips.
All right, we got contestant number two. She didn't scream like the last time. I think she's used to it now.
Yeah. Oh, look, she went back. Oh, there you go, Galvin. Galvin's done this before. Did you go to camp a lot?
Oh, here's her husband. Here's her husband. Let's see if there's any recognition.
All right, here's the husband.
Oh, come on. Don't.
Oh, my God, this is so awkward.
Don't put. He grabbed her hand and junked it up.
Oh, you can't.
Okay, all right.
That's what I said. I'm the first one. I don't know whether she did.
She pushed inside on me.
All right.
I don't see anything like that. Sounds like
that,
even though that was
innocent. We're going to bring in the next chick.
Okay, all right. I got to tell you.
How awkward was that for you, Kat?
It already stinks over here, first of all.
Oh, gross.
And it was awkward. I felt awkward, and that was my wife. Why are you so close to me? This is the worst idea I've ever had.
By the way, that was the gayest thing you've ever done.
All right. Who's next? Do we know who's next?
Everybody,
Oh, is my wife crying?
Hey,
no.
Is she really upset?
For real, right now, no lollygagging with my girlfriend.
Dan, get on the microphone. What did she say? Get on that one. Yeah, that's four. Dinah, is that one on?
Yeah, it's on.
What did she say?
She was angry. She was like, "That was so gross." Like, pretty sure.
She always says that to me when it's just me, so it doesn't matter. All right, this is why are you so naked? It's just us. I thought I would be more excited about this.
Why is the blindfolding taking so long? All right.
Gal's going in.
We got Leanne coming here. Blindfolded and headphones.
Good thing. Look, she's grabbing everyone. Okay.
Oh, I'm so nervous. What was that?
What was that? I think you know what that was.
That was awesome. I need to mic them.
They are.
Oh. Okay.
This is hilarious.
Okay, Leanne
is now.
No.
Oh, I can't hear you.
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, take her out.
All right.
What, you got to see what this looks like. This looks like a jihad in here. They're coming. They come in here looking like. No hand sanitizer. Smell it.
Oh.
This is hilarious. Okay, we have one left.
It does. It looks like it's torture. It looks like we're bringing them in, and then they're going to ask them questions in the other room. You want to go back in that room?
I'll be gray.
I have to tell you, I'm not enjoying this as much as I would. It's kind of awkward. It's fun, but it's awkward, and your wife did the best. My wife barely touched anything. Your wife. All right, here we go. She was handling it much better than my wife, wasn't she? This one right there.
Absolutely.
She wants to come back for round two.
She was the one more excited for.
All right, here we go.
Leanne actually made me feel bad because she did it, and then she goes to me, and she goes, okay. Like,
she touched mine and said, what is that?
All right.
All right, Calvin, the girlfriend's coming in. Calvin's going first. Where are you going? All right, here we go. Jihad. The hand is through.
Don't move your hands.
John's hand was in the way. She's going back for seconds.
John, what are you doing?
Okay, all right, I'll go.
I just peeked. I'm totally not gonna lie.
Don't lollygag.
All right. Oh. This sounds so awkward.
Jenny just made a noise. She goes, "Oh, look at Cal getting his." On. You better not put your.
That was great.
That was great.
All right.
It was everything you dreamed of.
Wait.
Jen, what was your favorite moment on the show?
Oh, my God.
Because we just had a pretty epic show today.
Yeah, even today, my boobs still hurt from laughing. I don't know. I really enjoyed I really enjoyed you guys serenading and apologizing to your wife because I heard you guys talking on the way in. I was like, oh my God, his wife is so awesome. I can't believe she puts up with this crap.
By the way,
on
she did.
Daily.
I think she's going to leave you while you're shitting and pissing yourself. Yeah. Like,
oh,
she
no.
When his the funniest line amazing. You said is when Eric called her a three-legged dog, he goes, the least attractive guy from the fucking TV show was sleeping with your wife. I was like, you know, she would laugh hysterically. She's like, are you fucking serious? That was today's show was fucking great.
Today was good.
My favorite times, and what I'll do is we've talked about them, and then I'll play these right. I'll play them right after this so you can hear each of them. I don't know if we even have the one with. Do you have them all?
We have them all.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My favorite time ever was the first song we sang.
With the vampire?
With the vampires. Yeah. But you know what it is? Is I wonder if it's just the setting. Because I remember each of those, where I was sitting, where I was talking. I remember it must have been during winter because it was getting dark outside.
Yeah.
And I remember us singing. I think we dropped the lights. And I loved it because we were all taking it each other to the next level and telling a story.
Yeah.
A dark night in Louisiana. With
so
my
bad.
Best girl, Rosanna. Out of the woods came a vampire-y guy. He had a look in his
one eye.
He had a fire cyclops.
He had sharp teeth, but just one eye. I'd smoked a little pot. I was really high.
That's third grade rhyme scheme.
I said, hey, you're not a bad looking guy for a sharp toothed vampire with one eye. And then he said, I got a tick down by my toe. It really is bad.
It's okay, keep going.
Terrible.
We should lower the lights a little bit.
We have a vampire with one eye and a tick right now. Take it away, Calvin.
Take it away, Calvin.
Ticking his toe, ticking his toe, ticking his toe, ticking his toe.
He said, get that garlic away from me. I can barely see because I have one eye and a bad tick. Bert Kreischer's a big fat guy.
That's when a werewolf walked out of the woods with a monocle in his right hand and a spike in his left. He said, let's get it on! Frankenstein wants to party!
Frankenstein wants to
party! It was the monsters in Louisiana.
Monsters in Louisiana.
Now it's really coming up!
The vampire with one eye
said, I recognize your girl. Is that Rosanna?
Rosanna.
Hey, don't I know you from
Montana? I used to go to school there. I look real normal outside. But just like these other creatures, I have a secret to hide. Rosanna was a witch.
And it's one of the things I said that I love about both of you is that you have comic spirits and that you're not radio guys who just are like, listen, MNF-er, I'm gonna F you in the C.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not that guy. You're very vulnerable on the show. And I love that. I love that about all great radio. And I'll say all my favorite radio stations as fast as I can. But like
I always ask every comedian
right.
who their favorite shows are. Because I'm not a radio hater. Most radio guys hate each other. But I like other shows. I like to listen to other things while I'm driving around and, of course, steal stuff from them.
Elliot, Preston and Steve, Todd and Tyler, Bob and Tom, regular guys,
You're the first comedian to ever say you like Bob and Tom.
Yeah, I like him. But it's a fun show if you've been on the show a couple times and they let you breathe. Like, yeah. The first time is always stressful.
I don't understand a show that says, oh, you're a comedian, write out your material, and then tell us questions to ask you. Why am I making you do the job? That's my job.
Yeah,
that's called Comics Unleashed.
The first time I did Bob and Tom, I did it, and I killed. But I ran through all my fucking material. You know, all my clean material.
Right.
And so, which I have very little of. I went through all of it. And then they'd be like, come back next week. And I'm like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. And I came back and I had nothing. I had nothing. And then I stayed off it for like a year. What I had done is accumulated stories from traveling. So I could talk about fighting a bear and yeah. I talk about jumping off Stratosphere. And so it was interesting. And then the last time I did it, there was no rules. They're like, just come in, just mess around. I didn't write anything down. I stopped my list, but there's a ton of good radio out there, but I feel like best radio. What do you think makes a great radio host?
Well, certainly somebody who's in command of everything, but yet at the same time doesn't have a giant ego. Like I don't, when we have people come in, especially comedians, we're bringing them in because we like them and we want them to be funny. We don't always have to be the ones delivering punchlines. It's the same reason why you hire a guy as funny as Galvin. I don't need to be the funny guy on everything that we do.
And that was one of the good things when we were talking about radio, and he said that. He goes, listen, he goes, I want the show to be funny. He goes, I don't care whether it's me, it's you, it's our guest, whoever's being funny. It's funny. Like, that's a funny show, you know what I mean? He drives the show very well. And you'll notice a lot of times that I'm not, you know, patting myself on the back, but when other people come in, I'm going to hold back a little bit and let them shine because they're our guests. They're, you know, here for a reason to be funny. So I don't have to pick up the slack or do anything. They're going to be there to be funny.
It's like Norton. You and Norton are really good at just waiting until you got, it's like you almost have this barometer of, this line's so fucking worthy. I'm jumping in regardless.
And that also makes Norton a good guest. You can see when he comes in, he waits for his spots. He doesn't try to overtake everything. He could.
Yeah.
He's a radio guy and a comedian, but he just chills and comes in when it's time.
The last thing you want to hear is a bunch of people talking over each other. Going, look at me, look at me, look at me.
That's me.
You know what I mean?
That's me. I just remembered, you know what I remembered? Do you remember this? How much fun Ireland was?
Oh, yeah.
When we decided we all needed motorcycle helmets so we could talk to each other in secret.
Yes.
Motorcycle.
Wait, what?
We were, to paint the picture of Ireland.
So they have a global thing that they do with Jameson where they have radio from all over the world, from Turkey, from France, from all over the United States. Like, we were there. There was
Sweden, where they all dress up in costumes and do
act stuff
out.
And then we're all in a big room, and they have different guests that they'll bring around to talk to, but we were at a table and we had
on the floor of the distillery.
We had a headset that had a microphone attached, so you could hear each other, but you can't hear. Blah, 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 there's so much talk outside of that, so we could tell each other stuff about people that were standing right next to us, and they couldn't hear us.
It was. And Cowhead hated Steve Byrne.
They're like,
you hated him up until then.
I didn't hate him.
You were like, just, you're like, what's the deal with him?
Everybody, he was the headliner for the show. For the Jameson tour, and they brought in Billy Gardell, that slow guy, what, Nick Griffin, and then Danny Bevins, and Danny was great, Billy was great, Nick was Nick, and we liked him, but we're like, well, where's the headliner? You guys have this headliner, he's supposedly so great, he doesn't even come and do radio. And then when we went to Ireland, he was like the least personality there. He just was quiet. We'd go out at night, and he'd be like, all right, guys, see you later.
By the way, and also, I hope Steve understands what I'm saying is love. But that was Steve's personality.
But I understand. I understood after talking to you much better what the situation was.
He's an interesting guy. He's a little distant from people he doesn't know.
Right.
He's a little private. And then I jumped on the tour the next year, and Steve was sitting in the side, and he was like watching me party, and he was almost like, what the fuck am I doing in the green room watching a documentary on fucking planes from World War II? And he's like, then he started partying, and then when that year, next year we're going, we're like, yeah, I like everyone, but that Steve Byrne guy's a little weird. I go, trust me, you're gonna fucking love him. And we were all sitting,
and by the way, that's what I said. I didn't say I didn't like him.
You were like, I'm not into Asian dudes. And so and then we got on that boat. Do you remember we were all on that boat?
But wait, back it up. You fucking ratted me out. I know you did.
I never ratted you out.
Let me tell you why. Because the second year,
Never ratted you out.
Let me tell you why.
People be like, oh, you're the dude that doesn't think I'm funny.
It's worse. It's worse. The second year we go, and it's you, Steve, Bevins, and Nick's not there. Billy's not there. And
Mike Loftus.
Okay. Yeah. Michael Loftus. So I'm in the airport. I haven't been in Dublin for 5 minutes. And I'm standing there by myself, and Steve comes up to me. He just gets off the plane himself. He comes up and he goes, "Hey, dude." And I go, "Oh, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you again." He goes, "Hey, good to see you, too." And he goes, "Hey, listen, I got to tell you, last year, I did the tour. I had been on tour for 6 months straight. I hadn't been in my house.
He had
I
done just that got wedding crashes.
Yeah, and he's giving me like all these excuses of why he was a dick last year. And I was like, "Yeah, it's cool, buddy. I'm happy to see you again."
You rolled up to the hotel with Steve, and you're like, "You say film something?" I was like, "No." I told Steve, I was like, "Listen, one of my best friends is coming with us, but don't be like nerdy. I want to sit in the hotel room, Steve." I go, "Let's be fun, Steve." One of the greatest fucking trips I've ever had in my life. I remember we got on that boat. And we took that boat.
It was a weird river boat that just went straight one way and straight one way back.
Quite possibly the greatest ever was the bus.
Danny Bevins. That was hilarious.
Drunk out of our minds.
Oh.
How about we went to the strip club?
And what did I say to you, Galvin?
You gave me your wallet. Island?
We went to a strip club. We walked in, and I gave Galvin my wallet, and I go, "Take this money. Do not let me have it."
He goes, no matter how much I beg, don't give it back to me. So then I have to go to an ATM with Moose in Ireland. Yeah. I don't know how they work, if they work the same. So I'm at the ATM, and some drunk white kid comes up to us, and he's like,
"In Ireland, drunk white kid?"
Yeah. And he asks for money, and Moose goes, "No." And he goes, "Well, you're a fucking asshole." And I turned around and I looked at him and I'm like, "We're going to fight in Ireland." And then I thought, as soon as I hit this guy, a rugby team's going to come out of somewhere and be shit at me.
You're shite in a bucket, cowhead.
I took out $200 from the ATM in crazy Euro money. And I went to the strip club with you. And I thought, everybody's like, "Oh, they're all like Ukraine, Russian girls. It's great, you know." And we went there and they were all pretty. And then we went upstairs and I'm like, "Oh, we're totally getting jerked off or something's going on here." And who went first? You? Somebody.
I didn't go at all.
I went and then went up to the second level and you were like, "Oh, second level."
Yeah.
You got it. That's where it all happens, right? I came back down. I go, "Don't go. Terrible."
It's an IRA meeting.
Like, literally could have been a library. Like, "Don't go." Mike's like, "I'm going to go."
I mean, my girl liked me, though. She liked me.
Well, Galvin doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. So we go upstairs to the room, and it's like that. What's that movie where the kids are all hostile? At any point, they should have tied me up and started selling my parts and do whatever. So I'm getting this dance from this girl, and she, like, accidentally brushed up against my leg. She backed into me and then turned around and yelled at me, "No touching." And I'm like, "You touched me." Yeah. And I realized this is going to be the single worst thing ever. You're sitting down, she's dancing in front of you, and it's costing you $200 American dollars. But the worst part about it was, my wife starts calling me after that on my cell phone while I'm in Dublin from America. Because she looked at the ATM thing and there was a withdrawal and it was like Saint something whatever and it was $600 American and she thought I was in the hospital. It looked like a hospital. I'm so guilty. I was like, "I went to a strip club." And I'm like, "I had to get money for a strip club."
It was so bad that I didn't pay Bert the money back that I took out of his wallet.
I remember just sitting there with no money and I had a camera because I just bought like a point and shoot and I was like, "Oh shit, I could record these girls." This is before you realized. This is before everyone had the ability to record nonstop. So I just started recording them dancing naked. And I was like, "I bet I get in trouble for this." We took those like horse-drawn carriages that night.
Yeah.
We did?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. I stole a fucking purse. I was wasted.
What?
Oh.
We were in a club.
Oh, yeah. You did steal a purse.
I walked up because I was hammered. I walked in. It was a basement after-hours club.
Oh, I remember it was packed.
And I walked in and I walked right. There was a table and they just ordered a bottle of champagne. And I walked right out to it and I went, whoom. And I just grabbed the bottle of champagne and started drinking out of the bottle.
Like he was a mongrel going into a village and just taking stuff that he wanted.
And nobody was saying anything.
You're a klepto.
I was just being a bully.
Yeah, and I remember one guy, Irish guy, he like bumped into me and we all exchanged words and stuff. And then I thought, am I really going to get in a fight in Ireland? And I thought, okay. And I told the guy, I go, "Listen, we can fight or we can go to the bar and do shots." And he goes, "Let's do shots." And I go, "All right." And I thought that was the greatest thing. I was like, "That's how it should be."
Problem solving in Ireland.
I remember I woke up that next morning. We were all supposed to pack that night. That night we went to the strip club.
Yeah.
And I did not pack. And I went home and I slept. And I got a knock on my door going, "The bus is leaving." I hadn't packed. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't done my ritual shower. I hadn't done anything. Oof. And so I fucking got in the car and I started drinking. I remember someone going, "Really?
Yeah.
Really?"
Yeah.
I go, "It's a fucking Jameson tour." Like, "Yeah, really." And then I got to the airport and they upgraded me to first class.
I drank more than ever. And what you did, this is the best part. You weren't there for the first year. The first year, Galvin had only worked here for a month.
If that.
The audition when Bert was here.
Yeah, and I had to get my passport in Louisville because I was leaving to come here and then literally going straight to Ireland these guys.
So I don't really know him very well. He's worked here like 3 weeks, and we're going to Ireland. And I have a point-and-shoot camera, too, where I can do movies and other stuff. So they bring us, and they start feeding us drinks when we land. Then they take us to eat, and you're eating shitty blood sausage and mashed potatoes everywhere.
Pudding and...
And then they take us by bus to this lookout mountain where you can go walk to the top of the mountain and take pictures. And we got, like, a third of the way up the mountain, and there's, like, a little rest stop area. And I'm like, I'm not walking up this fucking mountain. I don't give a shit what the view looks like. And Galvin's like, me either. So we start walking around. All of a sudden, Galvin starts, like, hunching over a little, and he's like... I'm like, why? He's like, I got a shit.
Like, and I'm getting the shit sweats, yeah, too.
Like, she's got the sweat. He's looking around. And I go, all right, well, this looks like a public park. There's got to be a bathroom somewhere. So we start walking. We find this little maintenance building. And we see a guy. And we're like, is there a bathroom over here? And the guy's like, nah, no bathroom. And Galvin's like, oh, seriously, this is going to happen. I got a shit. He's dying.
Coming out of his
head. Oh, he was dying. So he's like, I'm starting to laugh now. And he's getting nervous. And he's like, I may have to shit in the woods.
Yeah, it was either shit in my shorts or shit in the woods. So now I try and find some stuff to wipe with because you want to be prepared. Whether I don't want to use a fucking Irish poison ivy leaf, whatever. And there's a dumpster there in like a godsend. No lie. There's just all this wood and trash.
It was a construction dumpster.
Yeah, construction. There is a full roll of blue paper towels right there.
Like you see at a gas station, like when you change your oil.
I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. So I grab them and I go into the woods.
And I take my camera out, and Galvin's like, seriously, dude, don't film this. And I'm like, fuck you. This is the funniest thing ever. I don't even know this guy, but he's going crazy. And he's about in Ireland for an hour, and he's going to shit in the woods in a park with blue toilet paper. And then he goes in the bushes. I can see him crouching against a tree, and I'm filming it and laughing my balls off while I'm filming it. It was the greatest thing ever.
It's me in the woods. It's him shaking. You can barely see. It's like the Bigfoot thing. Like, I should have been walking and turned and look at him.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, we're going to jail. I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to find him an American shitting in the park. Oh, it was great.
Who are your favorite comics have on the show? Like fucking, they're okay. Coming in and you go, fuck yes.
Who? There was somebody who came in recently. We were like, that was fucking fantastic. We're always surprised.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
It was so good. None of us could think of who the fuck it was.
Well, I mean, obviously Jim Norton.
No, but who do we really just good. Have in recently? Rogan's great. I mean, Norton's great. I mean,
is this the show where I heard Norm MacDonald tell the George Burns story?
Yes, yeah. That was great. And
you think
I
could play clips from Norm MacDonald on the show?
It's our show, of course. You
no,
can.
On my podcast.
Yeah, it's our show.
Okay, can you send me the clip of Norm MacDonald? It is. By the way, it is when I rediscovered how much I loved Norm.
Phil Donahue said one time that he would play poker with Danny Thomas, and it would be Danny Thomas, George Burns. And then all those old guys, and I thought that probably the coolest place ever to be with all the old dudes. Not Bill Macy wasn't on that list.
Although a guy told me, you know, like about because you were saying about George Burns, he's supposed to be like the sharp, you know, I mean he's dead now, but he was very sharp.
Right.
But my buddy was a comedy writer, and George Burns was really big or something, and he said he went to visit him because they wanted to do a sitcom, you know, with George Burns, and he met him at the Beverly Hills Tennis Club where he played bridge every day and whatever. And he says he's talking to George Burns, and he's trying to pitch him the show, and he looks down, and George Burns is buttering his own hand.
Yeah. Like, Norm MacDonald is one of the funniest comics ever. I don't know the guy at all, but you were like, there were like, there's fucking four comics that I'd call into, and I'd listen to the interviews.
Yeah.
I'd call in, and I'd go, hey, I'm just going to call to listen. I want to listen. And I think you called me, and like, you're like... you should listen to Norm. Call and listen to Norm.
I said to him, I've been doing this a long time, and very rarely do I get nervous to interview anybody. I said, I've been sweating this all day. And he's like, why? And I go, because you're so fucking weird.
That is one of my favorite stories. I remember calling him when Greg Giraldo was in.
Yeah.
And you were like, Greg, you know, he said something. You said, it's very seldom that Bert calls in to listen to comics, and Bert's on the line. He's been listening to you. And Giraldo's like, seriously? And then we got on, and this is the last time I spoke to Giraldo, and I said... I said, the stuff you talk about with battling sobriety, he had a story that he used to tell only to like other comics about him smoking crack in the back of a, I mean, I don't want to slander his name, but he had drug problems, but smoking crack in the back of a limo and crying on the way to his college gig and drinking vodka and throwing up and just being a sobbing mess. And when he went to get out of the limo, he went to lower the partition so he could talk to the guy, and he realized the partition had been down the whole time. He was like, I've never felt worse in my life. But I remember telling him, he was like, yeah, man. He goes, I'm not really comfortable with talking about sobriety, because he had fallen off.
Right.
And but that Bill Burr, I called in, and I listened to Burr's interviews. And I remember his going, oh, what date's he trying to fucking plug?
He's so angry. There was somebody on recently that we ended up, like, if you come on the show, you're looking at at least two segments. You're looking at 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're out after one segment, you were terrible. And that rarely happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even if you were terrible in the one, we'll try hard to keep you for another one and make something happen. And usually it comes back around.
Well, Joe Coy.
That's who I was thinking of. Yeah. And your name came up.
During the interview?
Yes. What? Joe Coy, okay, we have turned down Joe Coy so many times on the show.
We talked about this on air.
Right. Yeah, but I said to him, I don't like Chelsea Handler. I listened to her on Howard, and she's so, like, full of herself, and I just don't get it. I'm not slamming her. It's not for me. I'm not a girl. I don't know. And then I always think you surround yourself with funny people, and then you get all the glory, kind of like this show. So, but the thing is that we never had Joe on. And I said to him, I think the reason why is because I didn't like her, and you're getting shrapnel from that. And he was surprisingly fucking a great guest. Didn't do one ounce of his bit. Just played off of everybody else, and it was fucking hilarious. And then I brought you up. I'm like, and then Bert doesn't like you, and that's why. No,
you did not.
I didn't say that.
I told you the reason I didn't know Joe. I was just jealous of his trajectory of his career. He was just exploded. He got so big,
right?
And I walked out of a crunch one time, and he didn't make eye contact with me, and I thought that was odd. And he was just like walked away from me, and he was wearing cooler clothes than I had, and he was skinnier than I was. He just knew like there's certain comics who know what to wear before everyone's wearing it.
Yeah.
Joe's one of those guys. Godfrey's gay one of those guys. Gay guys. Yeah. Godfrey and Joe. The guys are getting slay more pussy than anybody.
Right.
But what about Bobby Lee?
Bobby Lee is one of the best. Bobby Lee is second as far as, like, yeah, obviously you and Ralphie are guys that we're friends with, but Bobby Lee is the one guy where he came in and I looked at Galvin and I go, oh, what are we going to talk to him about? Fucking Mad TV? I don't know. And within literally five minutes of him being in the studio for the first time, his pants are down,
yep,
and he's trying to light his pubes on fire because he had straight pubes and he wanted them to be curly. And I said, well, you ever burn your arm hair? It gets curly real quick. So he gets a lighter and tries to burn his pubes. Then we also have fat porn stars booked for that day to wrestle Spanish. And now it's turned into a tag team, Bobby Lee and Spanish in their underwear versus two fat lady porn stars. He's insane.
He's running up to them like a cat slapping their boobs. Yeah. Like, really? Really fast, just back and forth.
He followed me on Twitter recently, and then I had a dream about him. I forget the dream, but
he's never been back. Stop
with your dreams.
He's never been back.
He's never been back
to Tampa. That was 4 years ago,
yeah,
and he hasn't been back since.
Holy shit.
And he was great. Like, I went to dinner with him. That's a rare thing. I think I've only gone to dinner with you, Ralphie, and Mitch Fatel.
Have you ever heard him on Opie and Anthony where they tell him there's an earthquake?
No. Why does he freak out?
I don't know. I don't know Bobby, so I don't want to, like, say stuff about him. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was dealing with cleaning up his life a little bit.
Right.
So he was anxious, and they were shaking the table. And he was like, what is that? But you can hear it. Like, one of my favorite things in radio is when you hear, like, what is it, like, all the way back there? And he's like, I don't know where I'm fucking gonna go. I don't know where I'm gonna go. And I was howling laughing. And I think he got under the table at one point. Like, it was.
I think he's gay.
Who, Bobby Lee?
Yeah. Because
I know girls that he's hooked up with.
Yeah, so do I. But we talked about it at dinner.
Really?
And because he was telling me about all his anxiety and problem, and I said, I think that you're gay. And he's like, why? And I go, well, because my good looking friend Matt joined us for dinner, and right away, as soon as he got to the bathroom, you were like, who's that guy? He's good looking. that might be. You might have to. No, I don't know. I have no idea what his sexuality is.
I don't know. I. He's definitely where, like, I follow him on Instagram. He definitely wears panties a lot.
He's nuts.
He hooked up with a friend of mine, and the funny story is...
Into the mic, Jen, come
sorry,
on.
Sorry, he hooked up with a friend of mine, and, like, the funny story is right after they were done, like, literally, like, and then that happened, and then the minute it was done, he goes, yeah, there's this moment of clarity after a guy finishes, and I just think that we shouldn't see each other anymore.
Like right after you finished?
Right.
Like, right after.
You realize she was a woman.
Oh, by the way, can you drive me to the Circle K because I need to get cigarettes?
By the way, I finished while you were telling that story.
Jen, what comic would you fuck the most? Like, what? Give me three comics that you go, one night stand, totally.
I think they'd be, like, guys that you wouldn't expect, like... I don't know. Like, I like dorkier guys. Like,
Emo
like,
Phillips.
Like, Brent, no, like, Brent Morin. Like, that kind of guy.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, I know Brent
like,
Morin.
Kind of, like, smaller dudes. Like, I think Rick Glassman's hilarious, too. Like, nerdier dudes.
Nerdier dudes?
Yeah.
Moshe Kasher? You
didn't expect that?
Moshe? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Moshe's like, Natasha, I'll be right back.
You know what I mean? But that's, I like smart guys. Like, the douchey frat boy
that's
humor.
The end of this, the end of this conversation.
Shut
back
up.
To us.
No.
To the douchey frat boy humor guys.
No, but like the real douchey frat boy humor, who I don't have to say their name in the studio. Like, we know who I'm talking
Mouth
about.
Mouth is who I know who you're talking about.
I mean, never. I would never in a million years touch that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
That guy, I don't know if anyone heard his name, but me and him were in a possible foursome one time, and it wasn't golf, and it was like, and I remember he got so fucking pissed at me. He was like,
of course,
he was ruined like, it
because I ruined it. First of all, me and him, we meet the girls at the Laugh Factory, and they're like, why don't you come back? And he didn't know this at the time, but I actually knew the girls, and I'd lived in that house that they were in. So the first I knew I what room to go to.
Exactly.
And so and
like,
we
let me
I
give
was
you
like
the tour.
I was like, let's get beer. And he's like, I don't drink. I go, I don't give a fuck. No one has fucking foursome sober. And so we went back and I couldn't turn it off. And he pulled me aside. He goes, turn it off. You're on not on stage. No more laughs. Let's fucking make this happen. And when I couldn't turn it off, he literally was like, guys, I'm out of here. And just walked out.
You're like,
and,
you know,
and I was like, oh, he's my ride. I'll see you later.
Aww.
Jason. Whatever your name is.
Exactly.
Okay. What if you were running the interview, what question would you, what market would you like to be in? Do you like being in Tampa? Would you like to go to LA or New York?
I liked LA. I thought when my contract was up here, I was going to go to LA. I would love to go to New York, but you really have to be fucking rich to enjoy New York. I make good money here in Tampa. But if I made it in New York, it would be very mediocre. And I have two kids, and if I go, I want to live in the city. I don't want to live in fucking Hoboken and come over. So, no, my dreams of making it in the Big Apple are long, long gone. I can care less. Plus, with syndication and digital now, you don't
anywhere.
Need to be anywhere. Yeah, you can be anywhere. But I like L.A. I think that I would like L.A. because if I did mornings in L.A., once I'm done at 10 o'clock, I could go do other projects. And you're there, and guys that I like are there, and that would be cool.
That would be a disaster.
much like your foursome. Oh, there goes my ride. No, we can do it here. Like, I like it here. But, you know, if that came up and it was L.A., like, I would go, you know, and all right, that's where I live.
I was
now.
In L.A. six times the year my contract was up doing meetings and stuff. And I thought, I mean, it was a time where I was going to a meeting at ABC and my wife was looking for houses in Studio City. I thought, we're moving to L.A. We were ready to go.
I've always said, if I live north of I-10, I'm rich. You know what I mean? Because anywhere cold up there and stuff. L.A., of course, nice, and I still want to be rich there or whatever. But if it was a cold area, if we ever leave here and we go somewhere cold, you know, then we're making a lot of money.
LA, radio is such a weird medium because there is this, like, real accessibility or honesty to it. So when people call up, you can go, you know, you can go fuck yourself and hang up on them. But there are crazy fucking people. Like, that's the thing that scares me. Like, can I tell you something? Secret?
Just between us?
Jen's here. Fucking saying. When we went to eat lunch yesterday, I was like, I hope we didn't piss anyone off that's a cook. Because what if they just fucking spit on our food or undercook it?
Let me fix that for you.
Okay.
You've already eaten somebody's spit. There's already been some guy who's rubbed his hamburger on your balls. There's already been somebody who's spit in your fucking soup, and you never knew about it. That's it. And you know about it. You go in the kitchen, you beat the shit out of the chef. Other than that, you just fucking eat it and don't worry about it.
That's how good the guy was. He rubbed his hamburger on your balls. And very
you know
sneaky.
What I mean.
Ben,
you can't go through your life worrying about that shit.
My roommate, Ben, I won't say his last name, but he lives in Tampa in college. He got in a fight outside of Publix. He didn't even get in a fight. He was just drunk, and some guy punched him and knocked his tooth out. And he like, woke up on the ground, and the cops arrested Ben. And Ben was like, wait, what the fuck am I getting arrested for? The guy hit me. And they're like, he said you started it. He was like, I don't get, you don't get to hear my side of the story? And they're like, sorry, buddy, you're under arrest. And they arrested him, and he fucking, like, fuck these cops. And he talked shit to the cops the whole ride. They pulled over, roughed him up a little bit, took him in, dropped him off at jail, and he spent the night in jail. So he used to have a job at Burger Burger in Tallahassee. I don't know, is Burger Burger still around, Jen?
Burger Burger?
Burger Burger, they had Bagel Bagel and
no,
Burger Burger.
No,
very
no,
no. Fuck. He had a job at Burger Burger, and he was a chef, and one time, or cook. And so one day, the two cops come in that arrested him, and he sees them, and they say to the owner of Burger Burger, hey, you got us for this, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure thing, guys, sure thing. What do you guys want? And they ordered the like, biggest platters and all this
special
extra shit.
Sauce.
And Ben, and they told Ben, and Ben saw them, and he just got his tooth put back in. And he was like, I got that. Mm-hmm. So he goes back, starts making their burger, and he looks at it, and he looks around, and he takes a burger, and he spits in one burger, closes it, takes the other one, spits in the other one, closes it, and his boss is right over his shoulder.
Oh.
And his boss goes, you're fucking fired.
Oh, really?
And Ben's like, motherfucker. And Ben had
he didn't even get to give him the spit.
He had a DUI, so he couldn't drive home. He had to walk home.
Oh.
So this was on the corner of Pensacola and Pensacola and but like right by the Commons or whatever that was. So Ben walked over to the gas station, got a fucking 40, and was like, it's gonna be a long fucking walk back. I just lost my job. We lived in right off by the Timbers. And Ben starts walking down the street with a fucking 40, and he's like, fuck those guys. Cops pull up. Whoop, whoop, open container. Arrest
oh,
him.
Oh my God.
Fucking throw him in the back of the car. Fucking take him to jail.
well, at least you didn't have to walk. That was my biggest thing.
Free ride, technically.
Okay. What questions do we have for Jen?
Oh, I don't know. All mine are sexual.
Yeah. Of course.
How many guys have you slept with?
Oh, I don't know.
You're going to lie anyway.
No, be honest.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Like over 10?
Yes.
Come on.
Over 20?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would
over
say.
Over 20?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Smile.
Over.
Look, okay, I'm the female version of you, so just think about that.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You'd just be drinking by yourself in a man cave, singing the in excess.
Thinking about the six girls you slept with.
Six girls, that's it.
Yeah, right.
My wife was 6 and 7.
Oh.
You're number 6 and 7. She wasn't 6 years old.
What would you, if you had my college experience,
I thought you were gonna say
and
body.
My access and my boobs, what would you have done?
Oh, I'd be covered in dicks. I'd be covered in dicks, just like one of those pictures of, they have on the candle of Santa Maria.
Yeah.
And it's got the on the side.
It's not that dicks. Bad, but I mean, I just don't really, I have to sit here and count. You know what I mean? You just have this way of pulling out such honest answers from people, both of you.
I don't.
Like, it's crazy.
Who's the most famous guy you had sex with? You know. Kanye?
No.
I don't know.
Kanye. It's not who everyone would like it to be.
I don't
know. Like, all the tabloid nonsense I went through with it.
I have no idea.
You should go. You should show up at his house and just knock on the door and go, okay, I'm ready. Get your camera, though, buddy.
It got stuck in my junk box. I just got this.
Hard no.
Dude, I didn't know that was you. I thought it was just some guy with your name.
Next time, put a number 4 on it or something.
Put a little jersey on it. It'll be way funnier.
Who's the most famous guy you've had sex with?
In a jersey. That's the most hilarious thing ever. Like those jersey koozies.
No, yeah, we got it. Who's the most famous?
Trying to change subject. I can't say that.
Why?
I can't.
Is he married?
No.
Is he ugly?
Huh?
Is he ugly?
No.
So why
then
would
let
you
us
say
guess. Let
Can
us
we guess?
Guess. Give us some clues.
Yeah, give us, let's play 20 questions.
Yeah.
Honestly,
athlete, actor, or singer?
There were a couple guys that were like pretty high ranking as far as like that goes. So like, I don't even know which one to pick.
Like athletes? A vice president?
It's always
somewhere, but not all of them.
Do you ever have sex with a musician?
Yes.
Okay. All
Nickelback?
Right. Hip hop?
No.
Oh, thank God. country?
No.
Rock?
No.
Scott, what was I gonna say?
What's left?
Jazz? Gospel?
No.
Bang Yo Yo Ma?
A DJ?
No, ew.
What kind?
Steve Martin, fucking banjo.
Yeah, the whole Mumford and Sons. That's what I did.
Wait, what kind of music was it? New wave,
like pop. You know what I mean?
Pop.
Like
okay,
like top 40 type
top
stuff.
Top 40.
Bruno Mars.
No.
Enrique Iglesias.
One Direction. The whole band.
Ew, no.
Enrique Iglesias.
I wouldn't even recognize those guys if I saw them in public. I don't think.
Sadly,
how many
I
years
would.
Ago was this? Or how long ago?
I don't know. Like maybe 5. It was back when I still had my big boobs.
What happened to them?
I took them out. R.I.P.
Yeah. Enrique Iglesias.
I said that three times.
No.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I've been saying that.
In your brain, you didn't say it out loud. You're having conversations in your head. You did not say that out loud.
This game would be so much easier if you just told us.
Yeah, I know. What's not?
Why? I'll tell you somebody famous that Bert slept with.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. That's fair. It's a good one.
There's but that's the difference. It's like he gets a high five, I get slut shamed. Like that's how people
get slut shamed.
Oh, yeah, I will.
If you're a comic, you don't get, there's no slut shaming in comedy because all female comedians are sluts.
Everybody's already saying slut now. It's not like they're going to change if you say, who somebody in particular. Oh. Like I'm saying, if they were gonna call, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, if they're gonna call you a slut, it's not
I'm
like that.
I'm just trying to think.
I would have used my power for evil if I was you. If they had said this guy is the best looking guy at Florida State, he is the epitome of hot dudes at Florida State.
Yeah.
Never, because you know why? I went there during the Chris Ricks era, and so I was not going to let that anywhere near me.
Chris Ricks?
Yeah, the fact that he like walked around and like handed out business cards with his name on it with quarterback underneath it, like ugh.
I didn't even know. I barely know Chris Ricks. Is.
Brutal.
That sounds like a cool
move. I was there during-
Well, I used to hand out cards with my number, and on the back it said, you'll call.
Oh, God. I can't believe we can't get one famous person.
Hey, we might have to leave, guys.
We gotta go.
I'm not leaving until we find out one famous person.
We'll tell you on the car ride. Let's go.
No.
Give us initials.
JB. Justin Bieber.
No, ew.
John Bon Jovi.
Give us initials.
I'm trying to think of who. Oh, the one that I was already telling you guys?
Yeah.
JM.
Jason what is his name?
Mraz.
Yeah,
Mraz.
Jason Mraz. No.
I don't know.
JM.
You thought goddamn Eric Griffin was the best looking in the room. You're not going to fuck Jason Mraz? Write a song for you at least.
I got it. I know who it is.
Who is it?
John Mayer.
Nice one, Cal. No. Fucking great.
Your body is a wonderland, Jen Sturgeon.
No to Jason Mraz, but yes, definitely fucking John Mayer.
Let me ask you a serious question. If he fingers you like with those guitar fingers, is it like fantastic?
Oh my God.
We gotta go.
Let me tell
I'm
you something. I've done that to my wife
nonsense.
and been like, hey, I gotta switch hands. My left hand's a little more dexterous than my right. Yeah.
Well, if I get in bed, I gotta be on
the because I play guitar. So I can.
You play Eruption?
You're doing trills and hammer on.
I mean, sometimes I'll just go with my left and then I'll bring my right and just start strumming it.
It's like Brad Williams' joke where he's like, guitar hero with the vagina.
How do you get to meet John Mayer? Like, do you run into him somewhere,
I'm
or are you
not
backstage?
Answering any of these questions? Oh, that's not assuming that it's him.
Okay, let's skip it.
Doing radio.
Let's keep it out of the.
Are you really using Siri? You could have typed that silently.
I can't.
Don't worry about it.
What?
It's what makes this podcast
with those
so
dexterous
good.
Fingers?
Do you do everything? Do you do butt stuff?
No.
Ever?
Never.
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 What would you do? What would you do first? Would you rather have oral sex with a guy or sex with a guy?
Sex with a guy. I have to get something out of this deal.
Oh, okay. That's good. I'm a worker. Yeah, what? Work did you ever have a threesome?
What?
You ever have a threesome?
No.
What's the craziest thing you've done?
No, I've never. What?
What's the craziest thing you've done? Like, there's some.
Wait till the third date. I don't know.
Did you get that? I got it. I just got it.
Good.
I don't know.
What's the smallest dick you've ever seen?
I think we all know the answer to that question.
Wow.
It was in a
picture. Oh, shit. I thought you were going to say Brad Williams.
It was in a picture, though. No, it was in a picture, though, so I've never seen it in person.
Have you ever seen that dick?
No.
It's horrible.
It's just a, I don't know who it belongs to, though. It's just a sad, homeless dick at this point.
Okay, but the thing is it's a good trade-off. You're good-looking and you win Super Bowls. I'll take the small dick. I'm good there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it still works.
It's easy for me to say now with the piece I have.
Yeah, with the piece I have.
Oh, my God.
This hog.
A complete ironic joke, by the way. Wait, Jen, back to what stuff do you do? What would you do that you consider dirty?
I'm not nearly as bad as, like, all my girlfriends. Like, that's the thing.
What do they do that you don't do?
One girl had to explain to me what I think it's called a rim job was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
You've had that done to you, though.
No.
Jen, you have
no.
to.
No.
It's lick your asshole, right?
No.
What's a rim job?
Yeah that's what it is.
I was like, I've been doing it wrong.
You've never had a guy going down on you and he was like, hey, well, I'm down here.
No,
oh, you're
never.
Crazy. Let's try it right now.
But you don't want that?
I think the rest of me is too nice that they're just like, I'm so focused on this, it doesn't even matter.
You're insane. I think it was the first thing I ever do.
I have a really big butt, like for a little white girl.
You do?
But what about your butthole?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. My dad told me yesterday when I got off the plane, he goes, you're not allowed to wear those pants anymore. He's like, it's just obscene. He's like, you'll get in trouble. I was like, thanks.
You know, I wish I had.
He's like, your ass is too fat for that. I'm like, that's a good thing now.
I wish I sexualized people. Because I don't look, like, when you said you got your boobs taken out when we were doing the podcast,
yeah.
I was like, I haven't even looked at her tits. Like, yeah. I know I saw them in the picture. I thought you were going to take your shirt off. I was like, you went like this. I went,
yes!
All right, we should definitely go to do the show. It's 11:30. Show starts at 12.
Holy crap.
What about when he had boobs? Did guys put it between your boobs?
I love this.
Did you do that?
By the way, this is what I've done right now is I've done an interview with you, and then I brought Sturger in for your specialty.
I'm so glad we didn't do this on the air, though, because then people would be like, oh, yeah, I'd have sex with her.
You did good. You did good radio today.
Aww.
Yeah, that was a fun fucking show.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
She picked Galvin as the least attractive.
No,
that
Mike
was me.
I was second.
I'm not offended. By
I
get
like
that's
a
logical.
Hey Jimmy Neutron thing going. That's
facials? Have you ever done facials?
No.
John Mayer did not give you a facial.
It's not. No.
If I was John Mayer, that'd be the
like
only way I'd finish.
Face, but I'm not falling for that nonsense you guys are spouting.
I had a girl one time go, we're having sex. She's like, in the middle of it, she goes, do you want to come on my face? And I was like, now I do. I didn't want to earlier. But I guess everyone fucking does that because why would you bring it up?
Don't ask me. Tell me to do it.
Yeah.
If you ask me to do it, I'm like, I was going to do it anyway. But if you just tell me to do it.
I didn't need your permission.
Right.
God.
I said one time, Leanne goes, I said something. Oh, it was like the most sweet fucking moment in like our relationship. We're having sex. And it was like, I think we were both drunk. And it was our anniversary. We had drank a bottle of Cristal. We had a great fucking night. We go back, the kids are gone, we're having sex, and it's like and it's just getting wild. And I was like, we gotta do some like we should go crazy porn star tonight. And then in like the most loving voice, but in like trying to match manners, she's like, yeah, you're gonna have to lead that one because I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't
want to like introduce her to stuff that I've been watching, and then her be like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing with your arm?
Oh,
and I'm like,
she was, don't you
I'm
understand?
Joking you out.
She was reaching out. She wanted you to do dirty shit, but she didn't want to seem like a whore, so she wanted you to take
the
lead.
She was so sweet when she said that, and I was like, oh, and I had an orgasm right away.
You didn't want her to be like, the guy down the block loves this.
It's a delicate, right? No, it's a delicate balance when you want a dude to do something, though, because you want him to like take charge, but at the same time, you don't want to feel like...
Yeah, like you're being
assaulted.
Yeah, like you're being assaulted. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite position?
No, I've had those experiences where literally I was like, I'm out. Like, I clapped my hands and I left, like, in the middle of it. I was
really?
Like, this is crazy. Yeah, like, people can be too rough and, like, aggressive, you know?
Really? There's ways to test that. I used to, back in the day, I was surprised at how many girls like to be choked, but I'm never going to be like, let me choke you. But I'd have my hand, like, behind a girl's head or something, and I'd move it, and I'd feel them press their neck against my hand, and I'm like, okay, I see what's going on here.
Yeah. A girl's leading it, but,
right.
Like, she shouldn't.
Giving you hints.
Exactly,
a little. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So then I'm choking her before you know it.
And if you don't take the hints, literally, I will tap out. And
right, like, if a girl wears a dress, she wants you to bite her cheek like De Niro in Cape Fear. Right? That's the signal.
Yeah, he likes boys.
Like, the girl, like, there's a comic, I wish I knew this guy's name. I wish I knew if he's still doing comedy, because I wrote the joke for him, but it was one of my favorite jokes. Is he was saying that his wife had a rape fantasy, and he was like, I don't know, it just creeps me out. And he didn't end it. It was just like he was just using that. And I said, dude, the joke is, she asked him if he'd do it, and he said, no, it creeps me out. And I said, no, you got to say no, because what if I like it and that's all I want?
Right.
And every night I come home, I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna rape you. And she's like, seriously, don't. And he's like, that's what I'm talking about. And she's like, stop it. And he's like, you're really getting into this tonight.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna call the cops. Oh yeah.
I'm taking the next level. You're hurting me. Wow, you're getting really good at this.
Is that a real life? This is fun.
So wrong.
All right.
I love that I almost wrapped it up. I almost went, all right, cool. Thank you, Brett, for coming in.
No, I appreciate it, guys. We'll play some of those clips. I guess we'll play them now.
I know. I'll save this.
Yeah.
And then we'll put the clips in where they're supposed to go, and I'll just send it to you.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to fucking love this podcast, everybody. Awesome.
I'll even equalize it and make it sound good.
Yeah.
Oh, unlike what I have now.
Not like your shit and fucking... Greenland or wherever you were with the tsunami.
Or Joey Diaz talking over here. Joey Diaz is the best. I told you that he said about Isla. You're going to be knocking drugs and dicks out of that one's hands in high school. Fucking Joey's the best. All right, let's go do a call in. We'll stick
let's
to work show.
This.
Thank you, guys. I love you. You know I love you.
Bye.
Say I love you.
Why do you go do that?
Just say it.
No. One time we were in the box office of the Improv, and Bert was on the phone with his father for 5 minutes. And he hung up the phone. I looked at him and I go, you've just said I love you more times to your father than I've done in my whole life. You were like, all right, dude, I love you.
Where
okay,
you going,
call me later,
you got to go with us.
Oh,
okay.
Can I pee?
Yeah.
I know once you guys get on the road. road. I'm like, I can't pee in a Gatorade.
Once you get out, we're going to talk shit about
it. I was about to say, it was a big fucking mistake to walk out of the room.
She wrote on the note right there, she said, I have to take a dump. Where's the bathroom? That's why I pointed. Did you see me point her? Yeah.
And she said, don't say this on the air, but I've been fucked in the ass so many times, this shit should only take a second. She just sits down and her intestines come out. She has to tuck them back in.
Fucking pink socks it.
She was like, John Mayer's dick was so big. You know she likes her asshole light. She practically said, if you guys lick my asshole right now, that'd be awesome.
This is my podcast.
Yeah, don't worry. We're going to edit it all out. Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
When he said equalizer, he meant take Jen's shit out. This is how all our podcasts end. The ends are the best part.
It does.
Yeah. What would you do to her? What would be your number one thing you would do to her?
I got to be honest with you.
I know mine. Tell her to stop doing comedy. I'm joking.
No, what would you do sexually?
Obviously, this is all make believe, but like, I'd have to go down on her first.
You would?
I'd have to, because if I got on top of her, I'd be done in a matter of seconds. I would be really done in a matter of seconds. So I'd need to have her have an orgasm, and I'd give her a couple, you know, just for the road. Yeah. And then I'd have sex with her. I wouldn't enjoy it. I'd be so quick. I wouldn't enjoy. I would like to take time with the meal, but it's like I have sex with my wife, and sometimes I just go like, was I even fucking there? Like, I'm just so done so quick.
Man, I'd be into it mentally with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd want to do it doggy style with her, I think.
Why?
Because I want to grab her hips and aggressively fuck her.
Wow, this took a turn.
While I'm
hips and aggressively
poking her in her untouched butthole.
Oh, what about you?
I told you, stop doing comedy.
All right, come on, let's go.
Where are we going?
We gotta go to the fucking comedy show. I gotta be on stage in 15 minutes.
Wrap it up so I know you're not gonna edit anything out.
Okay. All right, guys, that's our show. I don't have anything to promote. Do you have anything to promote? Oh, you can check them online on iHeartRadio at The Bone 102.5
in Tampa. The fuck are you talking about?
You guys.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Mike Calta, CALTA. He's at Angry Galvin, GALVIN, and Facebook.com/ The Mike Calta Show.
Yep. And check him out. Follow him, and when he has good comics on the show, go to iHeartRadio and listen to the show. That's what I do.
Thank you.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Come on.